So we have been having for the past 4 weeks this series about prayer, right? And probably today, you know, you come and say, okay, we get it. We have to pray, you know. And I come today and I tell you another message, right, about prayer. And but this message today is going to be a little bit different because it has a powerful, powerful message. So let's dive in. We're going to go to our Bibles and we're going to go to John 14, verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So right here, Jesus is giving us a broad invitation to pray and to ask all our requests in his name. So pray, the phrase "in Jesus' name," right? When we pray in Jesus' name, it has a meaning. And it is not, you know, like when we say "open sesame," you know, like something magical. Or when we say, abracadabra, that word, right? It's not something like that in the kingdom of God. It's different. And I'm going to tell you in a minute what is the meaning to pray in Jesus' name. But right now, I want to share really quick with you something that happened to me during the beginning of the week. I was actually picking up my daughter from school, Sophia, and she comes home and she was hungry, right? And I gave her some chicken, rice, beans, right? And then, you know, she goes to the table and she starts eating. And then she comes a couple minutes later to me and says, "Mommy, right here on the left side, it hurts." And I said, "Okay, it hurts. Maybe you were playing with your little brother and maybe, you know, you got hurt. It's going to go away. Don't worry." And then she's like, no, it wasn't hurting before. It started hurting while I was eating and now it hurts." And I said, "Okay, just don't pay attention. Go back to eat your food and it's going to go away. Don't worry." And then a couple minutes later, she comes back to me and says, "Mommy, still hurts." And right there at that moment, my mind goes 1,000 miles per hour, right? And I start thinking the worst, right? I start thinking, "Oh my God, what could it be? Oh, what's there? Like, what organs is there?" And then I start picturing the, you know, the worst case scenario, you know, a Hollywood movie. How many of you understand what I'm talking about, right? So there it is. And that's why we need to pray for our minds, because our minds, let me tell you. But at that moment, I told my mind, you know, stop. Don't start thinking and do something, right? And what does a Latina mom does when something hurts? Brings Vicks. Is anybody familiar with this little bottle, right? If your child is sick, you put, you know, sore throat is sick, you put Vicks. If a muscle pain, you know, you put Vicks. Everything you put Vicks on, right? Kind of like prayer, right? So that's what I did. I put some Vicks right there and I said, "Okay, this is going to help you. It's going to go away." And right there, while I was putting the Vicks on my daughter, something inside of me said, "Pray. Why don't you pray?" Right? And I said, "Okay, let me pray." And I told Sophia, "I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you." And I lay down on her and I start praying, you know, "Heavenly Father, thank you for my daughter, you know, for her heart. Thank you. You have hurt her. You know, there's some pain here on the left side." And right there, while I was praying for her, she started crying and she started, and I said, "Oh my God, does it hurt that much?" I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to finish praying and then find out what's wrong. Why are you crying?" And she couldn't stop crying. She was like, and then I'm like, "Okay, thank you. Thank you, Father. Heal her in the name of Jesus. Take away the pain. Amen." And I said, "What's going on, Sophia? What's going on?" And then she's like, "It doesn't hurt. It's just that you were praying for me, I felt happy and all I could do was just cry." And I said, "Oh my God, that's the Holy Spirit right there, you know, his power and his presence." And it was touching her and she couldn't, you know, she didn't know what to do, but cry. But that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So going back to praying in Jesus' name means praying with his authority. In Jesus' name means when you're praying means that, you know, all his power, all his almighty, you know, when you pray for something, you have that authority, just like Paul did it, just like he did it when he used to pray with his authority. Praying in Jesus' name and asking God the Father to act upon our prayers because we come in the name of his Son. Amen. Praying in Jesus' name means praying according to the nature and the character of Jesus, of God, and the will of God. That it means also that. And we're going to go to the Bible. Oh, wait. Yeah, right there. No. What do I have here? Okay, there you go. Okay, so we're going to go to the Bible on 1 John 5:14, and it says, "This is the confidence that we have towards God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." Praying in Jesus' name is not require closing for prayers, but a way of praying for things that will honor and glorify Jesus. How many of you have seen this movie, Bruce Almighty? Amen? Bruce Almighty, the one that, for those of you that didn't watch this movie, it's with Morgan Freeman and Jim Carrey, and Morgan Freeman was God, was playing the role of God, and Jim Carrey was Bruce, right? And he was complaining to God that he was not doing a good job, and then what God does is like, all right, you think you're gonna do a better job? Here, take all my almighty powers and be God for one day. And that's what Bruce did. And I remember this episode when all the prayers start coming towards him, towards Bruce. And then he's like, okay, all these prayers, what should I do? Should I put them all in cabinets? And then thousands of cabinets appear. And then he's like, no, this is too much. Let me do it on post-its, right? And then 1,000 post-its came to his house. And then he's like, no, this is too much. Password, email, let me do email. And then there goes to the computer, and then all the prayers start coming in a form via email. And it was like 3 million emails, right? And then he's like, select all, and then he types yes, and then send, right? And we wish God would do that, right? Like say yes to every single prayer, right? But in the reality is that God doesn't say yes to every single of our prayers. Obviously, some prayers are selfish and not in alignment with the nature and character of Jesus. However, here's a question, and I'm pretty sure that you would like to know the answer. Why do so many prayers go unanswered? You want to know why? Yes, amen? Amen. We're gonna answer this question. Why do so many prayers go unanswered that appear to be in alignment with the will of God? And the reality is that thousands of us live with, carry in our hearts, the pain of unanswered prayers. And what do? Occasionally, you know, we wonder why God didn't answer my prayer. Why? And then we just continue living our lives and we try to trust him. But we have stories of unanswered prayers. I can share one. When I first accepted Jesus, it was like 13 years ago, I remember I wanted every single member of my family to be safe. So, you know, I went to this boot camp. It was a Christian boot camp. And I remember they took us to a mountain and we had to survive for the whole weekend there. And we had one of the activities. It was that they gave us an egg, and we had to protect this egg for the whole weekend, right? And this egg will represent someone that or somebody that you're praying for. It could be like a family member that doesn't know Jesus. It could have been like anybody that you're praying for, and you needed to protect this egg for the whole weekend, right? And I remember, you know, I said, I need to protect this egg. So how do I do it? I was one of the few that actually at the end kept it safe, because all the leaders, what they were doing, you know, if you leave the egg right there, so just to change or to go to the bathroom, they will just smash it. Or if you leave it on the floor, they will come and just, like, you know, step on it. And maybe you were changing and you drop the egg, that's it, game over. So I kept it safe. So what I did was I grabbed a rubber band around my hand, and I slept like that, and my fingers at the end were like, you know, like this. But I kept it safe. I was one of the few, and I was so happy, because I was praying for my older sister to be safe. That little egg represented my sister. And I said, I have to keep my sister safe. And 13 years later, that prayer still unanswered. And I still pray for her, so she knows Jesus and she could be safe. So Jesus teaches us on Matthew 7, right? They ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. See, in this passage, Jesus assures his disciples that God welcomes prayer and urges them to come to him continuously and persistently. See, we need to keep asking, we need to keep seeking, we need to be knocking. See, last Sunday, Pastor Rob was sharing about the story, the parable of the widow, the persistent widow. And I believe that Jesus shared this parable to encourage believers to persevere in prayer and not to lose heart, right? Remember the story, right, about the widow? What does the judge said at the end? He said, this widow keeps bothering me. This widow keeps bothering me. And he made her justice because she was keep bothering, nagging and asking, make me justice, make me justice. And then, you know, he did it at the end because she was bothering him too much. We need to be persistent like that widow. Amen. We need to keep praying. There is no set answer or formula as why our prayers go unanswered. However, the Bible, the scriptures provide several reasons, and we're going to see the reasons why prayers that appear to be aligned with God's will are not immediately answered, and we need to persevere and at times in prayer. And the first one, it's going to be demonic opposition. And we're going to see it here in the Bible, right? On Daniel chapter 10. And it says right there, the angel told Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard. So in other words, from the first day that he was praying on his knees, they listened. God listened. And I have come because of your word. The angel was sent because of his prayers. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. In other words, Daniel was praying for 3 weeks and fasting, right? And the angel visited him and told him that his prayers were heard and that he was sent, but there was a demonic spirit in the air that actually delayed his answer of his prayer. And you know, these tell us that we need to continue praying, because imagine if Daniel prayed for only 1 week and said, oh, well, God didn't answer my prayer, I'm just gonna, you know, stop praying. No, he prayed again another week and another one, and it was 3 weeks, and his answers, you know, his prayer was answered. So we need to continue praying, because we are in a spiritual warfare with a satanic opposition, We just don't see it with our physical eyes, but it's happening in the, spiritual world. And here's what you need to know. Here's what we need to know. We're going to go to Ephesians 6, 10. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, the way that he describes in this chapter that I'm going to read, I think it's the first time that the way that he says it, it's about what's going to happen here. It's different because in the Bible, there have been times that they have mentioned this, but this is the first time that he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So here he's speaking about the heavenly realms, right? And he's telling you, Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. So how many of us know that we have an enemy? Okay. And how many of us know that there is also a war happening? Okay. All right. So this, I came to a conclusion that life is not a playground. It's more like a battlefield, right? Because we are like fighting and going to a war. But I don't tell you this so you're scared, okay? So you're like, oh my God, there's an enemy out there and wants to, it's scheming against me and wants to kill me. No. I don't tell you this so you're scared. I'll tell you this so you are on your guard, right? So you can be ready to stand firm against his, schemes and against him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So the Apostle Paul in this book, in this chapter, makes sure we don't miss, right, the important principle about the spiritual warfare that literally can change the trajectory of your life and have victory. He says, this is what you need to know. There's an enemy, and he's not a cartoon that wears a red jumpsuit, right, with a pitchfork. Your enemy is not like that. Your enemy is real. Your enemy is real and is hoping that can be disguised himself so that we will forget that he is there. Amen? So he says, you need to know that your enemy is not flesh and blood. See, your enemy is not the person sitting next to you. Your enemy is not your husband or your wife. Your enemy is not your co-worker. Yes, that co-worker that if she says something else, you're just going to knock her or knock him out. Yeah, she is not your enemy. Your enemy is not your boss. Your enemy is not anybody. It's the enemy. Your enemy is not even your worst issue. Listen to this, church. This is very important. Your enemy is unseen, and he is hoping that you and I will think that just because he's invisible, that he's also fictional. He's hoping that we don't believe that he exists, because he knows if we do that, if we think that he's not real, what's going to happen is we're just going to aim all our frustration, our words, and we're just going to make mistakes, and we're going to blame everybody, that it's your fault that my life is like this. It's your fault. And we're just going to find somebody and we're going to make mistakes. There is an enemy. Tell someone next to you, you're not my enemy. I thought you were, but you're not. There is an enemy that tries to stay disguised and is scheming against us. And he also knows and believes everything that the Bible says about you and me. Oh, yes. Yes, he knows everything. He knows that it's true. He knows that we have been forgiven. He knows that we have already given the victory. Oh, yes, he knows that he can form a weapon against you, but that weapon is not going to prosper. Oh, yes, he knows. He knows that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us living, and he knows that we can do all things, in Christ. He knows. He knows also that there is no condemnation for those that who are in Jesus Christ. He knows that at the end, we win. at the end of the story, we always win. Amen? Amen. And it would be a shame that the enemy believes more in our potential than we do. It will be a shame. We have to start believing what God has called us to be. We have to start believing that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have to start believing that we can do all things in Jesus Christ. We have to start believing every single thing that the Bible, right here, I like to always carry it, the Bible says about us. We have to start believing. Our challenge may not go away, but the way we face it needs to change from today on. Amen? All right, so we have an enemy, there's an enemy, and there is a war. And you and I have to decide to go to war. We have to decide that the strategy of the enemy is not gonna be the only strategy on the table. That we have strategies, that we have spiritual weapons and pieces that God gave us here in this Bible. And if it's a war that the enemy wants, it's a war that he's gonna have. Amen? Praise God. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells us. Paul told us right there that it's not against flesh and blood. All right, so we were in, I think I missed the page right here. All right. So in the scriptures, we have been given these spiritual weapons that probably most of us know already. And, you know, it's usually we think that it's six, right? But I found one more weapon that I'm going to tell you right now. And I'm just going to name them, you know, and it is right there in Ephesians 6:10. It's the helmet of the salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, you know, all the armor that we wear for this war, the shoes, which is our is the gospel, the belt of the truth. Did you know this belt of the truth, that the Roman soldier back in those days, the first thing that he would put on, it was the belt. And that's why it's so important, the belt of the truth. It's so important to speak the truth, to live a life of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. So the truth is very important. That's the belt. Then we have our shield, which is our faith. And then my favorite one, which is this, the sword, which is the Bible. This is our sword, that when the enemy comes and he's like giving us this thought, we use the Bible, we use our sword, and we, just like Jesus did, and we use it. And the number 7 piece is right there on verse 18. And pray. Pray is the number 7 piece and weapon, spiritual weapon. In the spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all Lord's people. Amen? Prayer is another spiritual weapon. Prayer is being given us by God so we can defeat the enemy. If we want to have any chance against the enemy, we need to pray. We need to pray. We gotta pray because this enemy is scheming against us. But it cannot be something that we do just once a week or maybe just once a year, you know. It cannot be something that, you know, that you pray here Sundays mornings because Pastor Rob is leading the worship or before he leads he's leading the prayer. It cannot be only Sundays. It cannot be only once a year that when you go maybe to a retreat or a conference. It cannot be, you know, if that's the only time you go to war for your family, for your own peace of mind, if that's the only time, church, we're in trouble. Ouch. I don't get any amen. We are in trouble if we only pray Sundays, because from Monday through Saturday, it's at the enemy's disposal. We gotta pray and all occasions with all kinds of prayers at all times. Amen. We gotta decide that we will not neglect prayer. The number second reason why our prayers go unanswered is because of the resistance of our flesh. And it says right there in Acts 7:51, Stephen declared, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." That's something you don't want to resist, church. We need the Holy Spirit. "As your fathers did, so do you." So do you. See, God rarely forces a person to do something that he or she doesn't want to do. The kingdom of God is not ruled by a dictator. The devil is actually the one that manipulates and deceives people. But God's nature is to influence us by drawing us and inviting us into his will. In Hosea 11, it says, "I led them with cords of human kindness, ties of love." He is a God of love. He doesn't force us. So, you know, as humans, we resist the work of God sometimes. We do. And the enemy has a calling card, and I'll tell you, and it's deception. The enemy has this calling card, which is deception. And let me tell you what's scary about deception. That the person that is being deceived doesn't know that he's being deceived. See, that person is about to take that step, right? And everybody else is watching and everybody else is saying, "Oh no, if that person takes that step, it's gonna fall." And then there's an agent, like a blind agent that you can't see, that you can't see. It's like you're being deceived and you can't see it because it's the deception. That's how the enemy works. But then the resistance of our flesh is it's there and resists the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is just, first of all, not resist the Holy Spirit. And then persevere in prayer for God's influence in people's lives. So because if God can influence a person, then that's it. He makes that person to come to him and be in his, you know, will. Because God works gradually rather than by forced control. And the third reason why our prayers go unanswered is because of divine reasons. Divine reasons. And it says right there in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, it says, "The souls of martyrs ask God for justice, but God told them to wait a little longer until his purposes were fulfilled." He told them it's not time. Sometimes our prayers are in Jesus' name, yet God's timing to answer those prayers has not yet come about. So the timing of God is not there. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to answer. He will answer, but in his time. Amen? Amen. So there's three reasons to recap why our answers go on prayer. Our prayers go unanswered. Sorry. First one is the demonic opposition. Second one is our flesh, us. And the third one is divine reasons, that his time is not yet, you know, the time to answer that question. Someone told me that for God, 10 years could be 10 seconds, right? Maybe you have been praying for 10 years for something, but to God is 10 seconds, and bam, the prayer is answered. So his time is not our time. And we just have to know that these three reasons why our prayers are unanswered. So an unanswered prayer doesn't mean that that's it. It's the end. You know, I already prayed for this prayer 10 years and, you know, he's not going to change, or somebody's not going to do this. I just got tired. I stopped praying. No, that doesn't mean that. An unanswered prayer means to keep praying, to keep being persistent, to just pray until something happens, to just push and pray. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And with this, I want to finish. Can I be vulnerable? Amen? Yes? Can I share something? There was a time that I was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. And then there was also a time that I was betrayed by one of my very close friends. And then there was also a time that I had more bills than money. And then there was also a time that I had so much fear in my life, so much fear that it was almost controlling my life. In each of one of those occasions, my first response was always pray. Pray. Push until something happens. Keep praying. You don't see anything, but God is working. Keep praying. You don't see it, but He will do it. Amen? In His time. Amen? Praise God. God is able to do it. Yes, give it to Him. Amen. God is able to do it. God is able to do it. What He's able to do it? Whatever is going on in your life. Whatever is going on in your life. And there's a verse in the Bible that it says that God is able to do it beyond and above that we could ever think, ask, or imagine. Imagination. Let's do something, church. Right there where you are. We're going to close our eyes for maybe it's 30 seconds. Go ahead, close your eyes. And imagine. We're going to use our imagination. That prayer answered. That prayer, not the prayer that you just prayed last night. No, no, no. The prayer that you have been praying for years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Imagine it answered. Right? Right there. You got it? How does it feel? Good? Right? God is able. God is able to do it. God is able to do it. God will do it. We have to have that conviction, that same conviction that Paul had. Paul was incarcerated. Paul was in a jail, and he had that conviction. He was waiting to die. He was waiting to die, and he had that conviction that God was going to be able to rescue him and take him away of those prison cells. Amen? Praise God. We have to have that conviction. That to know that God is able to do it. He's able to interact with the laws of the nature because He was the one that created them. Amen? He is able to, He can separate the waters so that, you know, that Israel can actually, you know, go and walk through dry land. He's able to stop the storm by just telling the storm, stand still. Peace, be still. God can actually stop the sun and the rain. God is able to last a day as long as He wants. He was able to make the walls of Jericho come down. He's able. If He was able, He is able to do it. He's able to take just a little boy and name David and defeat this giant Goliath. He was able. God's power is not limited by the laws of nature. This is a reality. You gotta believe that. God is able to bring deliverance from impossible situations. He delivered Daniel from the lions. He was able to deliver three young men from the fire of furnace. He was able to deliver Joseph from the Pharaoh's prison. He was able to deliver Israel from Egyptian prison, Queen Esther from genocide, Elijah from Jezebel. Anybody needs deliverance today from a hard situation? God is able to do it. Amen? God is able. You just have to believe it. Amen? God is able. And not only that,
He's able to provide also. He provided manna for 40 years. He provided water from a rock. He was able to send birds to Elijah to with food to be fed, to feed him. He was able to provide and feed for thousands when Jesus, you know, did the miracle with the five fish and two bread. He is able, not only that church, he's also able to change the heart of people. He did it with Pharaoh. He did it with Gideon in the Bible. And he did it with Paul when he was persecuting the Christians. If he was able to do it back then, he's able to do it today. Why? Because the Bible says that he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same in the future, forever and ever. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. See, what I'm trying to do, church, is just tell you in these last 5 minutes that I have what God was able to do in the past, thousands and thousands of years ago. He is able to do it with you and me today. All we need to do is have that conviction that He is able to do it. Amen. What are we gonna do? We're gonna pray until something happens. We're gonna persevere in prayer. We're gonna do it. What if we do this week? What if we keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep praying until something happens? Amen? We're gonna pray. God is being good and I just want to pray really quick to end the message.